Well, we are exploring in this sermon series different stories in which Jesus had heart-to-heart talks with people. Sometimes Jesus was the one who initiated these conversations, and sometimes people would initiate them on their own. People would come up to Jesus seeking answers to some of their deepest questions. In today's scripture passage, two sisters named Mary and Martha reached out to Jesus for help because their brother Lazarus was dying, but he died before Jesus ever made a visit. Mary and Martha were quite angry about this, and our scripture passage shares the conversation that they had with Jesus. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to open to John chapter 11. I'll read verses 1 through 6 and then 30 through 45. The words will also appear on our screen. Again, this is John 11, verses 1 through 6, and then 30 through 45. So let's listen now to our scripture. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it's for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." Then he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary, had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Amen. Now, this scripture passage raises an important question for us. Where is God when things go wrong? Now, that's a question we may ask when something terrible rocks our world. That's a question the people in Mississippi are asking after the tornadoes that hit there this weekend. That's a question my own maternal grandmother asked after my grandfather was killed by a drunk driver. Here's a photograph of my grandparents, James and Leora Dale, when they were a young married couple. Now, my grandfather was killed by a drunk driver on September 27th, 1942. My grandfather was only 43 years old, and he left behind 7 children, all under the age of 17. My mother was just a year and a half old. They were a poor farming family with very few assets. They didn't own the land they farmed or the house they lived in. This tragedy created an awful situation for my grandmother. And as you might expect, her emotions were all over the place. There was grief, hurt, anger, even confusion. There was no way that she could take over all the farming responsibilities while rearing 7 children. It was a desperate time for her. And she certainly wondered why God would allow this to happen. Some of the hardest times in life make us wonder where God is. And we see this repeated in our scripture passage from John chapter 11. Jesus' friend Lazarus had been quite ill, and his sisters, who were also friends of Jesus, sent word to him about this. Martha and Mary wanted Jesus to come to Bethany to help their brother. But Jesus made a cryptic statement to his disciples about Lazarus' illness leading not to death, but to God's glory. And rather than heading off to see his deathly ill friend, Jesus remained where he was for another 2 days. Now, this raised a lot of questions, and desperate times have that effect on us. In fact, they often trigger some of our most serious questions about God. They also trigger a wide range of emotions. The disciples, for instance, didn't understand why Jesus was delayed going to Bethany. It seemed out of character for him because they knew that Lazarus was a dear friend to him. John even noted in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But truth be told, the disciples really didn't want Jesus to go to Bethany because it's near Jerusalem. And they reminded Jesus that the last time he was in Jerusalem, some of the religious leaders tried to stone him, and they feared that this would happen again. And as this whole situation unfolded, the disciples were growing more and more concerned and really more and more confused. That's when Jesus made another cryptic statement. This is found in verse 9. I didn't read it, but he talked about walking in the daylight. Now, he was probably alluding to the fact that he only had a little time left before his death, but his disciples didn't get it. And that just reminds us that difficult times in life often create a lot of confusion, and it stirs up lots of emotions. The disciples, of course, were not the only ones emotionally affected by all of these events. Martha's emotions were all over the place. By the time Jesus finally arrived in Bethany, Lazarus was dead. In fact, he had been dead 4 days. And so when Martha came out to meet Jesus, she unloaded on him. She said, and this is in verse 21, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, there's no way to hear those words except as accusatory, because she was placing the blame squarely on Jesus. And the way that Martha acted toward Jesus lets us know that there was really a lot going on within her heart. She was feeling hurt, she was grieving, and she was angry. But she also had hope. She said in verse 22, "But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Now, that would have sounded like wishful thinking if it had been spoken to anyone other than Jesus. But because she addressed it to Jesus, Martha knew that it wasn't as far-fetched as it sounded. And Jesus responded with a statement about the resurrection, which Martha may have thought was just a side theological discussion. Initially, she didn't connect it with her brother, but that would become clearer later in the day. And it was at that point that Martha left the scene and she sent her sister Mary out to visit with Jesus. And just like Martha, Mary blamed Jesus for her brother's death. She said in verse 32, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Same words that Martha spoke. See, Mary was hurt, she was grieving, and she was angry. She wondered why this had to happen. And while both Mary and Martha were directing their hurt and their anger at Jesus, he too was deeply affected by this situation. When he saw Mary and her neighbors weeping, he was, in the words of verse 33, greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. Now, a surface reading of that phrase suggests that Jesus felt deep compassion at that point. But Bible scholars tell us that the underlying Greek words communicate not compassion, but agitation and indignation. And this idea is captured in the Message Bible, where it renders this verse as, "When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him." And that's when Jesus started crying. Now, it isn't clear what Jesus was angry about. Bible commentaries propose a variety of ideas, ranging from his disgust with the lack of faith of those around him to a general rage at the circumstances. One Bible scholar suggests that Jesus was angry because he was about to confront death by calling Lazarus out of the grave. And Jesus was upset because he knows that death is a gross injustice. It's an enemy that opposes life. It snatches life away from us. Jesus was angry because death shouldn't have that kind of power. It's just not right. It's not right that death should be able to convince us that there is something in creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. It's not right that it can even take from us those people who believe Jesus is the resurrection and the life and snuff out the hope that is in them and make them think that Jesus' timing is off. Now, Mary and Martha certainly felt that way. And so did their friends who joined in the finger pointing by placing blame on Jesus. In verse 37, they said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Now, just like the sisters, they wondered where Jesus was when Lazarus really, really needed him. Some of the hardest times in life make us wonder where God is. When our emotions are running high and all over the place, we may call into question what the Lord is doing or not doing. Why would God allow my grandfather to be killed by a drunk driver? Why does God allow some people to be healed from a disease and others die from it? Why does God allow some houses to be spared in a tornado, but not others? Like Mary and Martha and their friends, we may wonder where Jesus is in times like these. And it's okay to have those kinds of thoughts. Now, Mary, Martha, and their family had a special level of intimacy with Jesus. He was a dear friend, and yet they knew him to be more than a friend. They called him Lord even as they confronted him and called his absence into question. They believed in him wholeheartedly, and they believed he could have healed their brother and prevented his death. And they let Jesus know this. Now, in all four Gospels, Jesus brings someone back to life. And the one time that it happens here in the Gospel of John is with this story with Lazarus. And we see in this passage that Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb. He had the stone removed from its entrance. And then he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And the Bible tells us in verse 44 that the dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Lazarus was brought back to life. And this miracle foreshadows the power of God that will be shown in Jesus' own resurrection. And that tells us that death is not the final word. We can take comfort in that ultimate truth. But how do we reconcile that belief with our grief and our disappointment and our anger when things go terribly wrong, when we suffer crushing and unnecessary losses, as Mary and Martha did? Now, the resurrection of Lazarus teaches us many things, including what it means to have faith in Jesus and what it means to have hope in the resurrection. This story, in fact, is full of instructive images, like that of Martha challenging Jesus, Mary kneeling at the feet of Jesus, and then Jesus weeping over the death of his friend. This story also lets us know, and this is a really important teaching, that it's okay to share our anger and our questions with God. When something bad happens, we can ask, "Lord, why didn't you prevent this?" We can ask God, "Why did the person down the street get a miracle, but I didn't?" We can even ask, "Where were you, Lord?" It is okay to ask things like this. See, when we face something difficult and hard and painful and even agonizing, we should also remember that God will meet us in those places. The author Frederick Buechner has said that it would help us if we would keep track of those moments that bring tears to our eyes, because those are thin places. These are places where we can make a deep connection with God. These are places where God weeps with us, grieves with us, hurts with us. These are places where God listens to our questions and our anger and our frustrations and holds them close to his heart. And then he shows us a way forward. I once heard a story about a child who was running down the halls in her church on the last day of Bible school. She had in her hand a little ceramic bowl that she had made for her mother. She had worked on it all week and was so proud of the way it looked. And as she ran down those church halls looking for her mom, she dropped it, and it broke into 1,000 pieces. She was devastated. She was sobbing about this, and everyone tried to comfort her. And they said things like, "It's okay, it's just a bowl." But this little girl was inconsolable. She kept crying. And when her mother finally came on the scene, she hugged her daughter and she said, "Let's pick up all the pieces and we'll take them home and we'll put them together and see what we can make of it." That's what God's like. When hard things happen in life, God meets us there and listens to our questions, our confusion, our grief, our frustrations, our anger, And he helps us pick up the pieces and make something new out of it. That's what Jesus did for Mary and Martha. And that's what he will do for us, because Jesus has the power to raise the dead and bring new life to us all. So don't be afraid to unload your questions on Jesus when you're going through something hard. Don't be afraid to say, "Lord, where were you?" Let's remember that Jesus will meet us in those moments. He'll help us find a way forward. And ultimately, he will bring us new life. Would you pray with me? Oh God, there are a variety of hard things that we face in life that leave us feeling hurt, frustrated, angry, grieving, and even disappointed. We may wonder why you allow such things to happen. We may even wonder where you are. Jesus has reminded us that you love us through it all, and that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. Even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. And we are grateful that you can handle all our questions and all of our anger and all of our disappointments, and that you can show us a way forward. We pray that you would help us to have faith to trust you in times like this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.